listening to a behind-the-scenes KatieCast, your sneak peek into the world of Katie's mind. This week, Katie will discuss Men in Kilts, her second contemporary romantic comedy, published October
2003. That lovely new intro is courtesy of my friend Tobias Barland, all the way from Sweden. As with other books, I will discuss some points about Men in Kilts, which may be spoilers. So if you haven't yet read it, you may want to hold off on listening to the podcast. Men in Kilts is one of my favorite books for a number of reasons. One of them is because the idea for this story started as a dream. I woke up one morning fresh out of a dream about a visit to a mystery conference in England, where I had met an absolutely drool-worthy Scotsman, and knew I had the basis of a story. I originally wrote Men in Kilts in diary format, but decided that was too jarring to readers and smoothed it out into its present form. Although it's true that Kathy has quite a bit of me in her, she's not actually based on me. She's more of an amalgamation of women the world over who are mad about dishy Scottish guys. And judging by the volume of email I get about Ian, there are a lot of women who share her appreciation. This book is also close to my heart because it features older protagonists. Kathy is in her late 30s, and Ian is in his 40s. I've always had a thing for older men and decided that those of us who are no longer spring chickens deserve to have a book with appropriate characters. In addition to receiving emails from women demanding to know where they can find their own Ian, I've also received notes from people asking if I was ever a sheep farmer. The answer is no, I haven't ever lived on a sheep farm, but I did lots and lots of research on raising sheep. I visited some local sheep, and I even tracked down a chatty sheep farmer in Scotland and pestered him with copious questions. I'm delighted to know that the book passes muster by the sheep farming community. Savvy readers will notice that there is a distinct similarity between some of the characters in Men in Kilts and the Emily young adult series. They are, in fact, connected, although due to the intricacies of publishing laws, I couldn't retain the same names. But Kathy's brother, who everybody calls Brother, is Emily's father. I even sent Emily to visit Kathy and Ian in They Wear What Under Their Kilts, although their names had to undergo a change due to the publishing issue. One of the most frequently asked questions I receive is whether or not I'll write a sequel. People seem to be equally torn between wanting to know about Ian and Kathy's baby and what happens to Archie. I've long wanted to write a book that turned Archie from a jerk into a human being, and that's still on my list of book possibilities. Hopefully, I'll find the time to fit it into my book schedule. And now for a little bit of publishing trivia about Men in Kilts. The book was originally titled 100,000 Welcomes, from the Gaelic phrase Caoid Míle Fáilte. But one day I was struck with the title Men in Kilts and immediately changed it. The book was in the middle of being written when I sold Noble Intentions, so it was set aside for a bit before I picked it back up and finished it. I offered it to my publisher at the time, but they felt it was not right for their romance line. So off it went to other publishers and was promptly turned down by, well, just about everybody. But NAL, bless their hearts, bought it based on a couple of chapters. The editor who bought it, Audrey LaFaire, moved over to Kensington before the book was published. But I will never forget that when she made the offer, my darling agent Michelle, somewhat taken aback, asked her if she'd like to read the rest of the book before she offered me a contract. Audrey was equally surprised that the book was finished already. And for all you writers out there who've ever been rejected, here's something to give you a little hope. Some of the editors who originally rejected the book later went to my agent and told her how much they regretted letting it slip through their fingers. While the shameless hussy that is my ego appreciates that sentiment, I'm grateful that it ended up with NAL. They've been a wonderful house to work with, and I count myself lucky both in the support of the publisher, Kara Welsh, and the woman who ended up being my editor, Laura Savelli. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this behind-the-scenes podcast for Men in Kilts. If you'd like more information about any of my books, pop over to katiemcallister.com or dragonsips.com. And feel free to drop me a line if you have questions at katie@katiemcallister.com.